When the sun had set and the first stars made their appearance, the boy started to walk to the south. He eventually sighted a single tent, and a group of Arabs passing by told the boy that it was a place inhabited by genies. But the boy sat down and waited. Not until the moon was high did the alchemist ride into view. He carried two dead hawks over his shoulder. "I'm here," the boy said.
"You shouldn't be here," the alchemist answered. "Or is it your personal legend that brings you here?"
"With the wars between the tribes, it's impossible to cross the desert, so I've come here."
The alchemist dismounted from his horse and signaled that the boy should enter the tent with him. It was a tent like many at the oasis.
The boy looked around for the ovens and other apparatus used in alchemy, but saw none. There were only some books in a pile, a small cooking stove, and the carpets, covered with mysterious designs.
"Sit down. We'll have something to drink and eat these hawks," said the alchemist.
The boy suspected that they were the same hawks he had seen on the day before, but he said nothing. The alchemist lighted the fire, and soon a delicious aroma filled the tent. It was better than the scent of hookers. "Why did you want to see me?" the boy asked.
"Because of the omens," the alchemist answered. "The wind told me you would be coming, and that you would need help."
"It's not I the wind spoke about. It's the other foreigner, the Englishman. He's the one that's looking for you."
"He has other things to do first, but he's on the right track. He has begun to try to understand the desert."
"And what about me?"
"When a person really desires something, all the universe conspires to help that person to realize his dream," said the alchemist, echoing the words of the old king.
The boy understood. Another person was there to help him towards his personal legend. "So, are you going to instruct me?"
"No. You already know all you need to know. I am only going to point you in the direction of your treasure."
"But there's a tribal war," the boy reiterated.
"I know what's happening in the desert."
"I've already found my treasure. I have a camel, I have my money from the crystal shop, and I have 50 gold pieces. In my own country, I'd be a rich man."
"But none of that is from the pyramids," said the alchemist.
"I also have Fatima. She's a treasure greater than anything else I've won."
"She wasn't found at the pyramids either."
They ate in silence. The alchemist opened a bottle and poured a red liquid into the boy's cup. It was the most delicious wine he had ever tasted. "Isn't wine prohibited here?" the boy asked.
"It's not what enters men's mouths that's evil," said the alchemist. "It's what comes out of their mouths that is."
The alchemist was a bit daunting, but as the boy drank the wine, he relaxed. After they finished eating, they sat outside the tent, under a moon so brilliant that it made the stars pale.
"Drink and enjoy yourself," said the alchemist,
noticing that the boy was feeling happier.
"Rest well tonight, as if you were a warrior preparing for combat. Remember that wherever your heart is, there you will find your treasure. You've got to find the treasure so that everything you have learned along the way can make sense. Tomorrow, sell your camel and buy a horse. Camels are treacherous. They walk thousands of paces and never seem to tire. Then suddenly they kneel and die. But horses tire bit by bit. You always know how much you can ask of them and when it is that they are about to die.